Railway engineers, after a period of technical chatter, finally admitted their perplexity outright. No one had the slightest idea why railway sway occurred or what to do to correct it. One must remember that trains were then the fastest-moving objects in human history, and the behaviour of such swift vehicles was suspected to be governed by some set of physical laws as yet undiscovered. The confusion was precisely that of aircraft engineers a century later, when the buffeting phenomenon of an aircraft approaching the speed of sound was similarly inexplicable, and the means to overcome it could only be guessed at. However, by 1851, most engineers had decided correctly that railway sway was an example of Bernoulli's law, a formulation of a Swiss mathematician of the previous century, which stated, in effect, that the pressure within a moving stream of air is less than the pressure of the air surrounding it. This meant that two moving trains, if they were close enough, would be sucked together by the partial vacuum of air between them. The solution to the problem was simple and soon adopted. The parallel tracks were set farther apart, and railway sway disappeared. In modern times, Bernoulli's law explains such diverse phenomena as why a baseball curves, why a sailboat can sail into the wind, and why wings lift the aircraft. But then, as now, most people did not really understand these events in terms of physics. Most jet-age travellers would probably be surprised to learn that a jet flies because it is literally sucked upwards into the air by a partial vacuum over the wing's upper surface, and the sole purpose of the engines is to propel the wings forward fast enough to create a stream of passing air that produces this necessary vacuum. Furthermore, a physicist would dispute even this explanation as not really correct, and would insist that a rigorous explanation of events is even further from the public's common-sense idea about these phenomena. In the face of this complexity, one can readily understand Pierce's own confusion and the erroneous conclusion he drew. Apparently, he believed that the airstream around the moving carriage, as described by Baroni, would act to suck him down to the carriage roof, and thus help him to maintain his footing as he moved from car to car. The truth is that Bernoulli's law would not operate in any way on his body. He would simply be a man exposed to a 50-mile-an-hour blast of rushing air, which could blow him off the train at any moment. And it was absurd for him to attempt what he did at all. Nor was this the extent of his misinformation. The very fact that high-speed travel was so new left Pierce, along with his contemporaries, with very little sense of the consequences of being thrown from a fast-moving vehicle.